the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. Moving right along into today's program headlines, Brian German is talking with us about the resources that are made available to growers to help manage debt. Also, this week's Almond Update discusses the new cover crop BPMs that are available for growers. Before we hear those reports, I'm starting off today's program with the California specifics of the proposed Infrastructure and Jobs Act. Let's jump right in. With bipartisan support, a standalone vote will be conducted within the next 4 weeks on the Biden administration's Infrastructure and Jobs Act. California Congressman Jim Costa says, quote, "This infrastructure bill secures robust funding for California and the Valley, including for water, roads, and broadband expansion, significant investments we haven't seen in a generation." He adds, "The budget plan will provide help to families, immigrants, workers, and our environment with equally strong funding." If passed, the bill will invest $1 trillion to fix infrastructure across the nation, creating millions of jobs. Some of that work will be done in California with $3.5 billion to improve water infrastructure and ensure clean, safe drinking water is available. $9.4 billion over 5 years will improve public transportation options, including that high-speed rail. $25.3 billion for federal highway programs, $4.2 billion for bridge replacement and repairs, $100 million to improve broadband coverage across the state, $84 billion to protect against wildfires and other extreme weather events, and $384 million to expand the state's electrical vehicle charging network. Stay tuned to AgNet West and this radio station as we continue to provide you with coverage on this topic, but for now, let's take a listen to this next local report with AgNet West's Brian German.
Resources are available to farmers and ranchers who may be struggling with issues of debt or conflicts with neighbors. The California Agricultural Mediation Program, known as CalAMP, offers a variety of free services to the agricultural community, covering a variety of different issues. Northern California Program Coordinator and a mediator with CalAMP, Jenna Muller, spoke to some of the issues they can help producers with managing by providing impartial assistance to negotiate differences.
So, you know, it's no surprise to anybody right now that this is a very challenging time for farmers in California and all over the country financially. We just have a lot of challenges with the drought, with wildfires. And so if folks are having issues paying bills, you know, it's good to get us in early on so that we can start to help with figuring out a plan for how to deal with debt that feels kind of unmanageable. One of the things that we offer is credit counseling. So that's us working one-on-one with a farmer to help them get onto a better financial footing. Farmer-neighbor conflicts are another thing, you know, particularly we think maybe coming up with water. That's, you know, one thing that we can help with. So if a farmer is having issues with a neighbor or if a neighbor is having issues with a farmer, either party can contact us and hopefully we can work out some sort of a plan so that the parties can get on better footing.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
The summer's heat coupled with the drought are putting stress on trees both in the back 40 and your backyard. Art Smith with East Prairie Landscape and Garden Center says your lawn sprinklers provide little water to your trees.
Typically, the sprinklers are set to go on for, I don't know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, you know, 30 minutes tops. And in that amount of time, it's very unlikely that there's enough water coming down that's going to be enough to affect the tree roots. The sprinkler systems are designed to water the top couple of inches, which is where the grass roots are, and that's it. And so trees go from that point down further.
He suggests targeting the roots with a series of hoses and sprinklers around a mature tree.
So instead, I have a dedicated sprinkler set. They're in series. There are three of them, so there's a hose connected to one end, and then it goes out the other end to the next sprinkler and on. And I use that, set it up around whatever tree I'm trying to water and turn it on. And I understand how much water goes through those sprinkler heads that I know now I need to turn it on for about an hour, 15 minutes. And that's going to get me my 2 inches at least of water on those trees, which is what they need. And sometimes I'll let it go longer.
He says figuring out how long to leave a sprinkler running is pretty easy.
The way I calibrated it or measured it is I just put out a pan with straight sides on it and turned on the sprinklers and waited to see how long it took, in this case, for 1 inch of water to come into the the pan, and then I just multiplied the time that it took for that 1 inch to come into the pan. That gave me my 2 inches of water, you know, so that's what I knew time-wise what I needed to have that sprinkler system set for.
Smith says the critical area to water is not the base of the trunk, rather 2/3 the height of the tree out from the trunk. Adding mulch and shrubs also helps prevent water loss through evaporation. It's time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of today's national headlines and local reports, including our livestock report from Randall Weissman when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be SGMA compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The nation's average gas price declined for the second straight week, down 3.3 cents per gallon from a week ago to $3.14 per gallon. The national average now stands unchanged from a month ago and $1.01 per gallon higher than a year ago. The national average price of diesel is down 0.9 cents in the last week and stands at $3.27 per gallon. Gas Buddy's Patrick DeHaan states, quote, "Gasoline prices have started to slide over the last few days as oil prices have plunged, largely fueled by a continued global surge in COVID-19, unquote. DeHaan also notes concerns that fuel demand may shrink as more companies table return-to-work plans and the summer driving season comes to a close. And he expects the national average gas price to fall below $3 per gallon within the next few weeks. While COVID cases may eventually slow, OPEC has continued its plan to ramp up oil production every month until 2022, leaving oil under heavy selling pressure. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. And now for more local news, here's Brian German.
The Department of Viticulture and Enology at UC Davis is hosting a virtual open house and career fair for prospective students next month. UC Davis offers both undergraduate and graduate degrees in viticulture and enology. The virtual open house will take place on Wednesday, September 8th from 3 to 6 p.m. and will offer an opportunity to learn how a UC Davis education can open up the possibilities of a career in the grape and wine industries. The program will feature information from the department's faculty and staff, current students, former students, and industry representatives. Information will be presented about the application process, financial aid, and available scholarship opportunities. There will also be focused breakout sessions for prospective students, parents, teachers, and guidance counselors. More information about the virtual open house and career fair is available at wineserver.ucdavis.edu/events. I'm Brian German for Agnet West Radio Network.
Well, in today's livestock news, USDA this week did announce an update to their Coronavirus Food Assistance Program 2, otherwise known as CFAP 2, for contract producers of eligible livestock and poultry. CFAP 2 assists producers who faced market disruptions last year due to COVID-19. Up to $1 billion will be available now for payments to contract producers of eligible livestock and poultry for revenue losses they suffered from January 1 through December 27th of 2020. Contract producers of broilers, pullets, layers, chicken eggs, turkeys, hogs and pigs, ducks, geese, pheasants, and quail may be eligible for assistance. And this update also includes eligible breeding stock and eggs of all eligible poultry types produced under contract. Now, sign up for CFAP 2 remains open, and USDA's Farm Service Agency has set October 12th as the deadline to apply. If you'd like more information, just simply contact your local USDA service center. USDA yesterday announced the establishment of a $400 million dairy donation program, or DDP, established by USDA's Ag Marketing Service in accordance with the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2021. It aims to facilitate timely dairy product donations while reducing food waste. It's all a part of the $6 billion pandemic assistance announced by USDA back in March and follows last week's announcement of $360 million in pandemic market volatility assistance program for dairy farmers. It's the second part of an overall $2 billion comprehensive package to help the dairy industry. Now, under DDP, eligible dairy organizations will partner with nonprofit feeding organizations that distribute food to individuals and families in need. Partnerships may apply for and receive reimbursements to cover some of the expenses related to eligible dairy product donations. So dairy farmers, cooperatives, or processors that purchase fresh milk or bulk dairy products to process into retail packaged dairy products and meet other requirements are eligible to participate. If you'd like more information on this, you can go to the AMS website, ams.usda.gov. Again, that's www.ams.usda.gov. And the California Wool Growers Association will be holding their 161st annual meeting and convention in Bakersfield this Friday and Saturday, August 27th and 28th. It kicks off Friday morning with the CWGA Board of Directors meeting. Then educational sessions will be held that afternoon. On Saturday, the CWGA membership meeting will take place. Various business issues will be discussed, and many speakers will be giving reports. The California Wool Growers Association is committed to delivering lasting value to support and grow all segments of the California sheep industry. More information about the meeting and convention can be found on the CWGA website, CaliforniaWoolGrowers.org. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West.
Thanks, Randall. And in more agriculture news, a funding mechanism for rural economic development projects. Rural economic development loans and grants offer resources for communities in their efforts to foster local economic growth. USDA's Rod Bain talks with Rural Cooperative Business Service Administrator Karama Neal in this report.
A USDA funding program gives resources for building rural economies. Rural Development Rural Business Cooperative Service Administrator Karama Neal says within the scope of the Rural Economic Development Loans and Grants Program,
typically rural electric cooperatives can borrow these funds at 0% interest from us, and then those borrowers, those rural electric cooperatives, use those USDA funds to make loans to local businesses for projects that create and retain jobs in rural areas and in towns with populations of fewer than 50 residents.
Recently, $14 million in grants and loans were allocated to rural economic development projects in 10 states. Projects range from constructing a storm shelter and renovating facilities at a local school to improving roads and infrastructure within a rural community. Neal adds state rural development offices have more information about this program.
Go to rd.usda.gov. There's a contact us link that will get you to the state offices.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And it's time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be Sigma compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, tossing it right on over to Brian German with this week's Almond Update.
Today's specialty crop news brought to you by the Almond Board of California. You can find them online at almonds.com. A new resource has been made available for growers focused on the use of cover crops in almond orchards. The new Best Management Practices Guide provides a thorough look at the benefits of cover crops and how to implement them. And today we're talking with postdoctoral scholar at UC Davis, one of the authors of the new BMPs, Vivian Waters. And so I thought we could just start broadly with what this new resource includes and how it came about.
Yeah, so this new resource, it's a collaboration between UCANR, UC Davis, where I'm housed, and the Almond Board. And the goal was really for all of us to come together and synthesize a bunch of different resources of information about cover cropping in almonds as a guide for growers. And the guide includes seasonally explicit information for different options. So it's not just a one size fits all, because almonds are not a one size fits all. So there's options to manage cover crops in your almond system. At the beginning of the guide, we have a single page timeline of cover crop management for those who want a quick reference. And then we go into detail in the meat of the guide as we go through the season. At the end of the guide, we also have some key citations for people who want to dig more into the literature on these things. And then we finish up the guide with a list of funding and information resources. So we're really trying to provide a suite of options with this best management practices.
Very cool. I know the idea of cover crops and almonds has received some mixed feelings. There are varying opinions out there about cover cropping. But it sounds like this new resource provides a pretty thorough breakdown for anyone who may not be very familiar with the practice, all the way up to people who've been engaged in cover cropping, but may want to fine-tune their approach to the practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely true. So like you said, lots of people have opinions about cover crops. Some people have tried them, maybe they haven't worked, or people have tried them and they really like them, or they've never done it. It really depends a lot on what your system's like. So our goal with this BMP guide was really to provide options and show what's supported from the literature, from farmer experience, from what Extension has seen in their work with growers, to really have a suite of options for how you can use this practice, and to think critically through whether it's a good practice to put in your operation, and then that how is really the meat of the BMPs.
Very good. And now I know each operation is going to be a bit different. Like you said, it's not a one-size-fits-all situation here, but just in general, what are some of the benefits that have been seen with cover cropping in almonds?
Yeah, so cover crops and almonds can have really important positive effects, I think, mainly in like three areas, in soil health, in weed control, and supporting pollinators. But again, what benefits you get is going to depend a lot on management. For example, like to get the benefit to pollinators, so supporting bees when they're in your orchard by having more flowering resources so that they can have the pollen of almonds, but also from other plants. You know, we don't eat one thing every day all the time, so bees also do better when they have more diverse forage resources. So in order to get that benefit, the cover crop has to actually bloom, and it needs to be protected from pesticides. So there's some trade-offs there, right? But you can get that benefit. For soil health, there's studies of cover crops back in the 1920s and then coming up until today that have found that cover crops can improve soil structure. And this means a reduction in compaction and soil sealing and cracking, which may be a problem depending on where you are and what your soil type is, and improved water infiltration. This has been well documented. Cover crops can also support biological soil ecosystems and fungal networks, and this can help with inputs and then dealing with perennial concerns such as salinity buildup or compaction, like in the soil structure. However, in California, there's some people, you know, soil health is a really big topic, and that's something people talk about a lot. Building soil organic matter and sequestering carbon in California is really hard because we have these hot, hot summers that just like burn through all of that. So it's unlikely that you'll get some of the benefits that you see, say, in a Midwestern corn crop, right? And that's something that we try to be explicit about in the BMPs. There are other practices that you could combine with cover cropping, such as whole orchard recycling and compost applications and livestock grazing, that could achieve some of these benefits that are possible partially with cover crops. And so some of the benefits that people have heard about or have felt like have been oversold, maybe in California, those aren't as possible in the absence of other practices. And that's what we've tried to do in the BMPs, is to be really realistic and clear about how to manage the cover crops and what you should expect from them. But there's definitely a whole world of other information sources that can supplement it.
Yeah. Now, lastly here, you had noted that putting all this information together was quite a collaborative endeavor. And the fact that it is so new, it just came out very recently. How long has some of this work been going on? You've got quite a group there putting this together. So I imagine you've got quite a few years of research and information involved in putting together this new guide.
Yeah, so the actual guide is the result of talking with over 60 people, putting it together from the content perspective. And that's before any of the design and, you know, all of the like formatting and all of those kinds of things and making the pictures and getting the graphics and everything like that. So all the content people, that includes talking with growers, extension specialists, other academic researchers. There's multiple NGOs who've done really great work on cover cropping, government agencies, and other farm industry specialists like seed sales people or custom planters and those kinds of people. All of these people offered their expertise over almost a year of interviews. So we really started like putting together the BMPs about a year ago. And before that, all of the information that we got from all of these people in interviews was really synthesized with an extensive literature search and building upon a 3-year multi-site research trial of cover crops, along with research results of cover crops in California, in almonds and other tree crops that we've been doing over the years. So we have included some information where we said, okay, growers have found success with these options. And then as we do more research, we will update the guide because we want it to be a living resource that just improves over time as we learn more about how to use this tool.
Very good. And anyone interested in getting a hold of the new cover crop BMPs can find it at almonds.com/covercrops. Again, Vivian Waters, postdoctoral scholar at UC Davis and one of the authors of the new BMPs, sharing some insight on the new grower resource. Again, Vivian, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Brian. This is really great to get to talk about this, and I hope people find it useful.
Thanks, Brian. It is time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. Don't forget, if you'd like to catch a recap of any of today's reports or this Almond Update, you can always head on over to our website. That's www.agnetwest.com for more information. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be SGMA compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. USDA Rural Development Undersecretary Justin Maxson says the Department of Agriculture is on track to provide record support of rural working capital in the current fiscal year. USDA has invested $1.2 billion in loan guarantees to help rural businesses in 41 states, Guam, and the Virgin Islands. The investments made through the Business and Industry Loan Guarantee Program and the Business and Industry CARES Act program are expected to create or save more than 12,000 jobs for people in rural areas. USDA has invested $811 million through the Business and Industry Loan Guarantee Program since the start of the current fiscal year. The assistance has helped businesses create or save more than 6,000 jobs in rural areas. USDA also invested $380 million in rural businesses through the Business and Industry CARES Act program. Maxson states, quote, USDA remains committed to helping rural businesses create job opportunities so rural Americans can build back better and stronger than ever before, unquote. The Department of Agriculture is dedicating $300 million in American Rescue Plan Act funding to conduct surveillance for SARS-CoV-2 and other emerging zoonotic diseases. The effort aimed at susceptible animals includes building an early warning system to alert public health partners to potential threats so they can take steps sooner to prevent or limit the next global pandemic. USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service is the lead agency responsible for implementing the early warning system. The framework outlines how the agency will focus its efforts to prevent, detect, investigate, and respond to SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, and other emerging zoonotic diseases that could pose a threat to both people and animals. Establishing an early warning system will require a multi-year effort. USDA will build upon its existing infrastructure to implement a risk-based, comprehensive, integrated disease monitoring and surveillance system domestically and enhance collaboration internationally. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. And in this next report, a split picture for drought-stricken western United States. There are two different pictures of how regions are faring in the drought-stricken western United States. USDA Stephanie Ho talks with USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey in this report.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey describes a split picture in terms of the drought situation in the West.
Following last week's latest monsoon surge, which hit hardest from Arizona northward into Montana, we have seen quiet weather return across much of the West, At present, it remains fairly cool, but that is going to change as this drying trend is going to be accompanied by a marked warming trend.
Other than the heat, he says there also will not be many prospects for rain.
And so for the driest areas of the far west and the western Great Basin, that means more issues with wildfires, air quality, and extreme heat and drought. Not much change there.
Meanwhile, though, there are areas where conditions are better.
As we move further east and inland, it has turned significantly better from a drought standpoint in states like New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, western Colorado, and even extending northward from there.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit AgNet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at AgNet West. And our team of Brian German at Brian German AgNet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal AgNet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by AgNet West.